My name's Will DeFries, and this is the Sunday Scaries Podcast, your cure for the Sunday blues. Think about your job, the one you're dreading going to tomorrow, or if you're really unlucky, the job you're pretending to do right at this very moment. I've never hated a job. Sure, there are things all of us can hate about our jobs, but actually hating every aspect of what you do for a living is somewhat more rare than you'd think. A miserable boss, remedial tasks, unreliable coworkers, zero upward mobility. In some cases, these can all mix together into one toxic cocktail that affects every single aspect of your life. But really, there seems to be an easy solution when you discuss it with friends or family over dinner or drinks. Why don't you just leave? Unfortunately for a lot of us, it's not that easy. Most of the time, the reason for staying against your will falls somewhere between the financial burden of not having an income and the daunting task of finding something new. This week, I heard from various listeners just like yourselves about the jobs they hate and the reasons they're still working those jobs. Although their names have been changed for anonymity, their stories remain all too relatable. Ryan, 23. I fully understand this job as a foot in the door for me being my first one out of school. It's nothing that I'd imagined I'd be doing out of college, and the job is both boring and miserable. I sit around all day waiting for something to happen. Along with that, I've had to train two guys since I've started the job, the first one being a prima donna and the second one struggling to retain any information necessary to do the job. I work 3 to 4 days a week, depending on the week, and each day consists of 12 hours a day. While I get longer weekends, and I say that in quotes, they're not necessarily weekends as I'm always back to work on Sunday. As an hourly employee, those in my position tend to be treated worse than the salaried employees, even though there's no way they function with us in the position. I'm going to be looking for another job soon, however, I will be looking to move out of my home state. My brother and his fiance are due to have my parents' first grandchild around the new year, which is holding me back from having started my search sooner. Andrew, 26. I have two jobs and one I hate more than the other. The one I hate the most is the Sunday job, a small mom-and-pop restaurant that's stuck in the past and does not show any interest in improving how they care for their employees. It's toxic and sad knowing that they will never change. That being said, I make bank for only working about 4 days a month. On the weekdays, I slave away at a corporate job that is downsizing my department and will let go of me in 7 months. That being said, the news sucks, but the heads up this early means they care to be transparent and all levels of management are on board with making sure our cynicism does not go through the roof and we all perform to our utmost potential. The people I work with make it all the better. For a 26-year-old, I wish I made more money with only one stream of income, and I had more time to relax and quit counting the gray hairs that keep sprouting. But you know what? The grind is worth it, because I'm not worrying about money, and this is only temporary. One day, I will work only one job and enjoy my Sunday scaries as they are meant to be enjoyed, by not having to worry about working on Sundays and only the stress going into Monday. Dave, 24. I was in an unfavorable situation. Quite frankly, I was burnt out, unhappy, and my confidence in my abilities as a professional were at an all-time low. As a result, my performance suffered. I had days where I walked into the office and I thought I'd already done something wrong the previous day that would result in some sort of repercussion. Eventually, that day came, and I was let go. At 24, I'd spend the next 2 months unemployed. Quite frankly, it was awesome. I was off in July to late September, right in the heart of summertime Chicago. My girlfriend went as far to say that she had never seen me this happy in months. I was training for a marathon as well, and so I got to spend a lot of time doing that. This unemployment stretch gave me the chance to smash the reset button. Fast forward to today, I recently started a contracted gig at a tech giant. While nothing is promised when my current contract is up, the possibility of being unemployed again in the near future is there, and I still couldn't be happier. Everything about the process has been positive, including my work life. In fact, I love my job, and working hard every single day trying to earn myself a full-time offer has been extremely rewarding. I've loved every step of the process. Getting fired from my old job was one of the best things that's ever happened to me, so I guess it's to be continued. Jake, 26. I graduated from college in 2015 with a degree in accounting, but was never passionate enough to follow through with any career opportunities. With my diploma in hand, and the summer of my senior year over, I moved back home with no money in my pocket. After applying to a few jobs here and there, the unavoidable happened and began the rest of my life to date. I joined a startup of sorts as the second guy in command in a highly competitive industry led by another recent college grad with dreams of turning his newly made company into a multi-million dollar operation. Now fast forward almost 5 years later, and the dream to grow the company has exploded into something bigger and better than we all maybe expected. Our operations began focused locally, but have now reached multiple markets in Texas and New Mexico. The prospect of growing out a client base throughout most of the areas in the Southwest continues to grow, but all of this success has come with a personal heavy price to pay. I have no work-life balance. I don't have enough hours in the day to get the work done that I need to. I'm miserable all the time, and I have to coach myself to make it through the day. I hate my job. I hate what I do, but I don't know how to quit something that I helped create. I can't count how many times I've cried myself to sleep, cried to my mom, or cried to anyone else that will listen about how miserable I am. The consensus I get is to quit and leave it all to start over again, but I feel trapped and it's killing me inside. I badly want out, but something inside me just doesn't let me. And now, let's pause for a moment to hear from this week's presenting sponsor. Holiday travel is upon us, and that means one thing and one thing only: miserable airport experiences. And with airports, you get everything from flight delays, cancellations, lost luggage, and more. Luckily, Away is here to help. I got my Away Bigger carry-on earlier this year, and I've taken it on every trip since. Not only has it completely changed the way I pack, but it's eliminated those times where I stand at the luggage carousel praying that my suitcase wasn't one of the ones that got lost in transit. Because of their zippered interior, compact design, and removable battery, I have everything I need right on the plane with me. The approach is simple. Away creates special objects that are designed to be resilient, resourceful, and essential to the way you travel today. They ask thousands of people how they pack, why they travel, and what bugs them the most about their current luggage. Then they designed a bag that solved a few old problems like sticky wheels and a few new ones like dead cell phones. They've got a ton of sizes, colors, and whatever else you need to accommodate your travel schedule and tendencies. Not only do I own the bigger carry-on in green, but I plan to get the expandable large for those trips when a carry-on just won't cut it. Not only are they lightweight and impeccably designed, but they've got a 360-degree spinner wheel and are able to charge cell phones, tablets, e-readers, and anything else that's powered by a USB cord. A single charge of the Away carry-on will charge your iPhone 5 times. Right now, my listeners get $20 off a suitcase of their choice by going to awaytravel.com/scaries and use promo code scaries at checkout. Again, that's $20 off of a suitcase of your choice by using promo code scaries at checkout when visiting awaytravel.com/scaries. Additionally, we've all suffered through those times when we really need something. A bigger TV to watch the game, new tires for your car, or a tablet to keep track of your busy schedule. Or if you're like me, a new iPhone because you fell in the lake and rendered it completely useless, only to have Apple tell you that there's nothing they can do about it. For me, big purchases always loom hard. How I'm going to pay for them, how long that massive charge may sit on my credit card collecting interest, it's just not fun. Because after all, not many of us have that kind of cash just lying around for those types of purchases. That's why you need to check out Zebit. With Zebit, you can shop millions of products from your favorite brands and pay them interest-free over time. Simply choose a product you love and pay a small portion of the price at checkout, and the rest you pay over time at 0% interest. Take the iPhone I just mentioned. If you're in a pinch and you need a phone fast, you can get the brand new iPhone 11 for just a down payment as low as $109. After that, you pay just 6 monthly payments over 6 months, all at 0% interest. You're already stressed out enough about your phone situation, so don't let your financial situation make matters even worse. Even better, in addition to interest-free credit, Zebit has no cost to join, no late fees, and no membership fees. Sign up for Zebit today at zebit.com/scaries and get up to $2,500 in credit to shop the Zebit marketplace at zero interest and zero cost to join. That's zebit.com/scaries for $2,500 of interest-free credit. zebit.com/scaries. And now, back to the stories. Hannah, 25. My company is going through a large reorganization and spend reduction that's impacting all departments. My role solely exists to be the scapegoat between many different departments if issues come up so they don't dislike each other. I spend a lot of my day telling teams we can't execute on plans due to budget or resource restriction when the budget decisions don't land on my team. It wasn't a fun job when I started, but it's gotten progressively worse as the state of the company continues to go down. It's very isolating to be the common enemy of many different teams in a hard time. Plus, as a young person in the city, I don't fit in with my team of mostly middle-aged women from the suburbs, and they've let me know that I don't belong. Every day I think about quitting, but I'm just scared. I've fully supported myself since graduation, and I can never ask help from my family. And I'm not even just supporting myself, I have a decent amount of student loans. Before this job, I worked at a company that was going through a massive reorganization that includes waves of layoffs almost every other week and job reassignments or relocations, and then I moved to this job, which is somehow worse. I'm afraid to jump ship unless I'm sure it will be the next best step. I couldn't handle winding up somewhere else that is this hard. Cameron, 25. I'm currently working at a job that I took out of school, which is incredibly remedial and monotonous. I come in, I do the same 4 to 5 things every day, never improve, and continue to keep my manager and boss happy. I pretty much thoroughly dislike pretty much everything I do. I'm a glorified pencil pusher for an investment team. Why don't I leave? The insurance company I work for in Kansas is owned by a private equity firm in Greenwich, Connecticut, and I regularly make trips to see our clients. Unfortunately, this process has led me to believe with that enough hard work, I could impress that group and maybe somehow make the jump and really catapult my career. Realistically, my resume and background don't really fit what the company would typically look for in a candidate. Beyond all that, I'm a classic recent postgrad who doesn't truly know what he wants to do for the rest of his life, and who really does at this point. So now I'm in an internal struggle about shooting for the stars with a high chance of failure and burnout, or do I try to find a job somewhere where I'm a legitimate candidate and can at least make myself a bit happier by having something that's potentially more stimulating and fulfilling? Stu, 25. My first gig in advertising started as one would expect. Overtime hours, nasty clients that would throw me under the bus, and a supervisor only a year or two my senior that made my life a living hell. The catch with advertising, as with most industries, is that it's difficult to get a job right out of college with no experience. So despite how this first job has affected my mental health, it was critical that I get at least a year under my belt. So I stayed, despite experiencing severe depression and daily cases of anxiety, knowing that I'd have to return to work the next day. Eventually, my situation became significantly better and more manageable. I'm ready to begin the next chapter of my career, and after all that I've been through at my current job, I find it difficult to walk away. My bills are being paid, and I'm managing my workload well. It just feels as though my confidence took a major hit, one that I'm still trying to recover from before I begin the job hunt again. Elaine, 28. I'm a media planner at an ad agency in San Francisco. My job suffocates any happiness out of my life. Sorry for being dramatic. Not only am I dying in the structure of my agency and client partnerships, but my client is a straight-up psychopath. I won't describe the ins and outs of a workload because honestly I'm too numb and exhausted to go through it, but my client has my team working 70 plus hours a week on a standard basis. We live in constant fear of being completely berated and belittled every single day. Luckily for me, I'm beneath the director level, so my client views me as so insignificant that my emails are never worth being replied to. I have no personal life, I have no time to exercise, no time to cook myself meals, I've lost touch with almost every friend from being unresponsive, and the only time I see my partner is when I finally crawl into bed and they're already asleep. Of course, I want to try to find new jobs, but every company in the Bay Area wants one person who can do a full team's worth of work. I try to apply for jobs on the train or after I've finished crying in the meditation room, but honestly, the cycle is exhausting. Once you get a handful of no thank yous back to back, you don't have the energy to get back into the job hunt. Also, positions that garner pay raises require additional 5 years of experience out here. So maybe I'll just move back to the Midwest and call it quits. Matt, 25. This question may not directly relate to my place in life right now, but it did a month ago. After leaving college, I took a job that I had spent the previous 3 summers interning for. As an intern, one of the guys in our department took me under his wing and we became really good friends. He's only 7 years older than me. I knew his whole family, I went to his lake house during the summer on weekends, and I enjoyed our back and forth in the office. Fast forward to June 2017. I'd been hired onto the team as a full-time employee, he had been promoted twice without much justification, and all of a sudden, someone who was a great friend and ally in the office was now my boss. Needless to say, the quick rise to power got to his head and I was the heavy bag on which he took out his frustration and flexed his perceived power. He ignored my countless pleas on behalf of the group to bring on additional help we desperately needed in the name of saving money. He began leveraging our relationship as close friends to manipulate me in the workplace and use me as a scapegoat because he knew I wouldn't fight it out of fear of losing my job. In May, he went so far as to tell me that I needed to break up with my girlfriend of 3 years or else I'd be missing out on opportunities professionally. He told me this at a work event, no less. A few days later, I contacted a headhunting firm near me and it turned out to be one of the best decisions I've ever made. A month ago, I began a new job with a startup financial advising firm where I have better pay, an amazing manager who respects me, and I genuinely love what I do. Oh, and last week I proposed to that girlfriend who was, quote, keeping me from moving up, and she said yes. I could not be happier. If you liked what you heard today, make sure to subscribe, review, or tell a friend in need about this podcast. By subscribing, you guarantee that each and every episode gets delivered directly to your phone every Sunday morning. You can also follow along on Twitter, @SundayScaries, and Instagram, which is @Sunday.Scaries, or you can follow me on both Twitter and Instagram @WillDeFreeze. And remember, always trim the wicks on your scented candles. See you next Sunday.